redemption by the blood, that glorious, wonderful transaction that took place on Calvary when our Lord redeemed his people from the curse of the law and the judgment of sin. And regeneration, what happens in the heart of a sinner when the Holy Ghost, with the Word of God, gives life, regenerates him. Ruin, redemption, and regeneration. But I feel like another R ought to be added. I really believe it would be an incomplete gospel if we didn't add in resurrection. But Paul said over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if the dead rise not, Christ is not raised. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 16, if the dead rise not, Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, believing Christ. I could name dozens who worshiped here in this building over a period of 40 some odd years, who are asleep in Christ. And he said, if the dead rise not and Christ is not raised, they're perished. They're annihilated. If in this life only, if in this world, and what we call life, we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But thank God, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What are first fruits? First fruits are the evidence of fruits to come. The first one raised will be followed by many, 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 many raised in his likeness. Now, the resurrection of the dead was the hope of Old Testament believers. I want you to use your Bible with me a little now. If we're going to deal with this subject of resurrection, we need to base all that we say upon the Scriptures. And this was the hope of Old Testament believers. Let's go to the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 14. Job 14, beginning with verse 12. This is Job speaking now. And he says in Job 14, verse 12, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Here's our question. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. God's going to finish what he started. That's what he's saying. Even after I die and I'm buried, till the heavens are passed, and there's a new heaven and new earth, he'll call, and I'll answer. Because he's going to finish what he began. He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Job 19. Job 19, verse 23. And Job said this, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." And they are, aren't they? Right here before us. "That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Engrave these words on my tombstone," he says. "Where my body lies, put it in the rock. Engrave it forever." Here's the statement. Verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." That's Christ. There's just one Redeemer. That's Christ Jesus. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," we bury the body in the ground and the worms from within. The body begins its destruction from within. The worms doesn't have to eat it without it from within once we die. "Yet in my flesh I'm going to see God." There are two powerful statements there. One, I'm going to be in new flesh, glorified flesh, resurrected flesh, and I'm going to be in such condition that I can look on God and live. Moses couldn't look on him and live. He said, "No man can see God and live." Well, this man can that's been resurrected and glorified. Look, he can look upon the face of God. "Whom I shall see for myself." Now he said, this isn't another person. This is myself. This is Job. "Mine eyes shall behold," not another, not a stranger. He's not a stranger to me and I'm not a stranger to him. Not a stranger. "Though my reins be consumed within me." Isaiah, turn to Isaiah. I said this is the hope of Old Testament believers. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, 19. Isaiah, we love Isaiah. No prophet's quoted in the New Testament as much as Isaiah. And he says in Isaiah 26, 19, "Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as a dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." They're coming forth. Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Just a few. We could read many, many, but let's just read a few here. Daniel chapter 12. This is the hope of Old Testament believers, the resurrection of the dead. Daniel 12, verse 1. "At that time shall Michael stand up, great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Well, that's what the Old Testament prophets had to say about the resurrection. They believed it. And then our Lord. Turn to John chapter 11. Our Lord taught the resurrection of the dead. Let's read in John chapter 11. You know, Lazarus had died. And our Lord deliberately stayed away from this little town of Bethany. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother, had a home in Bethany, which our Lord visited several times. He loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus died, and the sister sent word to the master that he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, he was sick at that time, and the Lord stayed away several days, and Lazarus died, and they buried him. And then Christ came. And it says here in verse 20, of John 11, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again." That ought to be sufficient. Thy brother shall rise again. Christ said that. The dead shall rise. Thy brother shall rise. He's dead, been dead 4 days, but he'll rise. Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." I know that. I believe that. And Jesus said unto her, "Mary, or Martha, I am the resurrection." The resurrection is not just a doctrine. The resurrection is a person. "Because I live, the dead shall live. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead," a person who believes on Christ, "he that believeth in me, though he's dead and buried," it doesn't matter how long 4 days as Lazarus, or 400 years as Isaiah, or 4,000 years as Abel, "yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me will never really die." Never really die. They'll sleep, not die. That regenerated person who was born of the Spirit of God in Christ won't die. This body dies, but we never die. Believest thou this? And then in John chapter 14, our Lord said to his disciples, he had told them that he would lay down his life, go back to the Father, and they were so depressed, distressed, troubled of heart, and he said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You do believe in God. Well, believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Those disciples have been dead 1,900 years. But Christ is coming again, and he's going to receive them unto himself, that where he is, there they may be also. And then the Old Testament believers taught the resurrection. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught the resurrection. He said, the day is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But the disciples, now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. The disciples preached the resurrection. This was one of the main points of the preaching of the disciples, the resurrection. It brought great persecution on them because they preached the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of Christ and his people. And the thing about these disciples is they didn't just preach a doctrine of the resurrection, they walked with a living Lord. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, when they selected a replacement for Judas, Judas hanged himself. He betrayed the master and hanged himself. And these disciples got together and were going to pick a successor, an apostle. It says in verse 20, "For it is written in the book of Psalms of Judas, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein.
that his office, bishopric, his office or charge, let another take. His office let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Not only of his death, but his resurrection. This is our message. And so, right or wrong, we're not discussing the right or wrong of their selecting an apostle. I believe they made a mistake. I believe they rushed ahead of the Lord. The Lord chose Paul to be that apostle. But what these men were saying here is what I'm trying to emphasize. They said, whoever we choose to take Judas's place must be a witness of the resurrection. Got to have the resurrection. That's the message. And then Acts 2, listen to Peter here at Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that he should be holding up it. Death cannot keep the Son of God nor the sons of God. Got to turn them loose. Turn him loose. Joe, you read that while I found a ransom. Turn him loose. Deliver him from going down the pit. I found a ransom. Acts 4. Verse 1 and 2, listen. And this brought great persecution on these men, preaching the resurrection. You see, if they could keep Jesus Christ in the tomb, it would destroy everything that he preached. He said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. But if they can keep him in the tomb, and they tried to, they put that stone there and put the seal of the Roman government on it and put guards outside. Acts 4, verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Can't have that. But I'll tell you, Acts 17, listen to this, Acts 17. Oh, here's the importance of the resurrection. Acts 17:31. God, because God hath appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance of his deity, of his glory, of the efficacy of his sacrifice, of his power to save, of his acceptance and exaltation. God hath given assurance unto everybody, unto all men. How did he give that assurance? He raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. All right, here's the fourth thing now. Old Testament believers preached, found great comfort in the resurrection. Our Master, thy brother shall rise again. Thy husband shall rise again. Thy daughter shall rise again. Thy son shall rise again. And the disciples, this was their message. The resurrection, the ruin, redemption, regeneration, resurrection. You see, our gospel is the gospel of life from the dead. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians, this is our gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh, became a man, walked this earth under the law, obeyed it perfectly, went to the cross. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Died under the wrath and condemnation of God for our sins. Was buried like a scapegoat of old, led out in the wilderness. And then on the third day he arose, victorious over death, over sin, over the grave. Our great high priest ascended to heaven. And there he ever lives, the forerunner who's entered the veil. There's a man in glory. Beloved, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's a man, Christ Jesus. And he's there, we'll be there. Because I rose, you'll arise. Because I live, you live. Because I'm in glory, you'll be in glory. Because I'm accepted, you're accepted. You see, he represented a people. I read to you a while ago, down there in verse, well, verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 15, by man came death, that's by Adam. By man came the resurrection, that's Christ. In Adam we die, verse 22, in Christ we're made alive. Verse 48, as he is, the, verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Representation. But back at 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is our gospel, which I preach to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached to you, remember it, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received from him. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You can't stop with Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again, according to the Scriptures. Victorious. Effectual. Because I live, you live. This is our gospel. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the promise of our gospel. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. Listen. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all, also we all had our citizenship, our behavior in times past, born in sin, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you say, and hath raised us up. Already, spiritually, he's raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. We're already there. But in the ages to come, he's going to raise our bodies and show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's our gospel. The death of Christ, burial of Christ, resurrection of Christ. And because he died and was buried and rose again, we'll rise. Because we're already seated with him in glory. And this is what baptism, turn to Romans 6. This, see, when we baptize people and confess Christ, this is the gospel that baptism pictures. This is what we're saying in baptism. Romans 6. Now listen to verse 1. This is the way we confess Christ and confess the gospel, confess our Lord. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. See, this is the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ arose. Glorified, victorious. When we believe him, we say with him we died. We buried. We rise to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism says. And it says also that one day we'll die and be buried. But we're not going to stay there. We're going to be raised. We're going to be raised. Well, with what body do we come? Turn to Luke chapter 24. This gives me a lot of joy and pleasure to teach this particular passage here because it's so clear to me. It's so plain. You see, our Lord suffered on the cross and he died and he was buried and he rose again. And he appeared to the women at the tomb and talked to them, told them to go tell his disciples that he had risen. They went and told them. And then he appeared to the disciples here in Luke 24, verse 36. Verse 34, and saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Now this is the resurrected Lord. And as he arose, we'll arise. And with the same body, he's a man, as a man in glory. Glorified man. And this is the same body we'll have. We'll rise just like he arose. Just exactly. All right, let's read about it. And he said, peace be unto you. Spoke to them. They were terrified. They were afraid, supposing they'd seen a spirit. And that's normal. That's natural. They watched him die. They watched him bleed to death on that cross, give up his life. They saw him hang limply in death. They saw him taken down from the cross and prepared for burial and put in a tomb and lie there for 3 days and nights. And they thought they knew he was dead. They thought they saw a spirit. And he said, now listen, he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. Behold, why did he show him his hands and feet? That's where they put the nails. He was pierced, wounded in the house of his friends. He still bears those wounds. His is the only glorified body that'll bear any wounds. That's right. He bears those wounds in glory. But they are precious wounds, wonderful wounds. They're wounded for us, our transgression. He said, you reach hither and touch my hand. Look at my feet where they drove the nails. Handle me. Touch me. Spirit doesn't have, remember this now, flesh and bones. What Job say? In my flesh, I see God. Our Lord said, I have flesh and bones, as you see me now have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they yet believed not for joy, still they're not convinced. He said to them, "Do you have any food?" And they gave him a piece of broil fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and ate it. What kind of body will I have when God brings this body out of the tomb? You have it right there. A body of flesh. I'll be I myself. Be who I was and who I am. That's who I'll be. I'll say unto him who loved me and washed me from my sins in his own precious blood. I'll have flesh and bones just like my Lord. That's what Job said. That's what Christ said. Now let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians and see if the Lord will help us a little bit with this flesh. Because we read flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We read that just a little while ago. And we know this flesh is called corruptible, mortal, weak, diseased, and shameful. So it's going to have to be a different kind of flesh, isn't it? And it is. In 1 Corinthians 15:35, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what kind of body do they come?" Well, my Lord said, flesh and bones, able to eat. You see, God made Adam in his own image. He made him flesh too, didn't he? All right, listen. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." It's got to die. Our Lord uses this illustration of a grain of corn or wheat, whatever it may be. In order for it to live, you got to plant it. That's what he says. It won't come forth until it's planted. And that, verse 37, "which you sow not the body that shall be. What you sow is bare grain, maybe wheat or some other grain or corn." Let me stop just a moment. Here's a grain of corn. Shriveled and wrinkled and dry and old. And I plant it in the ground. Cover it over. God sends the rain and the sunshine and it grows. Here comes the green. The little plant out of the ground. It grows tall like this. And the ears of corn on it. And juicy, delicious, sweet. Bountiful fruit. From this? Is that this? Exactly. Exactly. I planted this, and that's what came forth. One day you'll plant this, and that new body will come forth. That's right. It'll be infinitely more glorious and wonderful and beautiful even than that compared to this. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. This weakness will put on strength. This shame will put on glory. If God can make this little shriveled, wrinkled grain of corn into an 8-foot stalk of corn with hundreds of corn grains on it, he can sure do that for this wrinkled old body. That's right. But you say, wait a minute, it's flesh. Well, read on. "God giveth a body, God giveth it a body as it pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh." When Christ said that he had flesh, it wasn't the same flesh that came out of Mary's womb, because that flesh died. But this flesh can't die. All flesh is not the same flesh now. Listen. There's one kind of flesh of me and another flesh of beast. Your flesh, but your dog's flesh too. But you're far above a dog. Your flesh is far superior to a dog's flesh. And then there's the flesh of fish. We catch the fish and we feel no qualms whatsoever pulling it out of the water and taking the knife and scraping it. I couldn't do that to you. I couldn't do it to me, let alone to you. The value of this. But a fish is flesh. Birds have flesh. But I want a bird, dead birds in my yard to throw in the garbage can. They're celestial bodies, and verse 40, terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one thing, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differs from another in glory. So is the resurrection of the dead. We bury rotten, dead, weak, corruptible flesh. It's raised in incorruption. Flesh, like unto the flesh of the Son of God. Glorified flesh, incorruptible flesh, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, subject to all the diseases and pains and distress and bleeding and infections. But that spiritual body will be like the body of the Son of God. That's right. That's what Scripture says. And we'll just have to wait. I can hardly wait. But we'll have to wait and see. But that gives you an insight. You see, this, there's nothing. God made man. Made him a body, flesh and bone. And sin messed up this body. And when God takes sin away, we're going to have a new body. We're going to be a whole lot like Adam was. Except we're going to have more. Adam could sin. We can't. Adam could die. We can't. With that new body. All right. Whom shall he raise? John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'll close the message with my master's words. And this chapter I love, I dearly love. John 6:37. All that my, what he said in verse 35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me will never thirst. But I said this unto you, and you also seen me and believe not. But all that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. All of his chosen covenant people, his elect, they'll come to him. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's whom the Lord will raise. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to his image, glorified flesh. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he raised up and glorified. That's those whom he'll raise. Read the next word, next verse. And this is the will of him that sent me. That everyone that seeth the Son, not with these eyes, but the eyes of faith, see him in his word, see him in his gospel, see him in his person and work, see him with the heart, and believes on him, will have everlasting life, and I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Paul said, I want to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I do too. But I tell you, who's going to attain? Those whom he gave to Christ and those who hear the gospel and believe Christ. I'm going to raise them up. That's the folks I'm going to raise up and make like myself. Read on now. So these folks murmured at it. And folks always have and always will. Because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, a man, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, How is it then, he said, I came down from heaven? And he answered. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, now, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me. No man can come out of the grave. No man can come to me. Believe on me. Except my Father which sent me, draw him. I'm going to raise him up at the last day. That's the one I'm going to raise. One my Father draws. By the Spirit and the God. This, it's written in the prophets. This is no new doctrine. This is written in the Old Testament. And they shall all be taught of God. And every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father, you come to me. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Whom will he raise? The ones the Father gave him. Whom will he raise? The ones who see the Son and believe on him. Whom shall he raise? Those who are drawn by the Spirit and taught of the Father. The gospel of his Son. We're not experts at all on the Word, but we're believers in the Son. So many things we don't know. We preach in part, we know in part, but when that which is perfect has come, we'll know as we have been known. I pray that'll be a blessing to you. Let's sing number 505. 505. Oh, that'll be glory for me. When by his grace I look on his face. Isn't that something Job said? In my flesh, I'm going to see God. When by his grace I look on his face, that'll be glory. 505. Let's stand while we sing.